Checking out the chat room here to see all's filing in. Thank you guys for making it tonight. So apparently wherever you are, you still have power. Put a little request out there for all of our northern friends to check in tonight if they have a chance just to see how you're doing. It definitely seems like New Jersey and further north are getting a lot worse of Sandy than we did here in Virginia Beach area. So hopefully everybody up north is doing well tonight, checking in. If you have family, loved ones, friends up that way, see what's going on with them, because it looks like New York City and all has definitely got it handed to them today. So we didn't do too bad here, I would have to say, as bad as it could have been. A lot of flooding with the tides, full moon didn't help that out. But other than that,
Mark, Jay Brooks is on the line. I'm going to put him live, whether he wants to talk to or not. I know he's had some damage. Jay?
Hey, how you guys doing?
How are
good,
you doing?
Jay. How are you? How'd the house fare down there on the water?
Not too good. It was a combination between the storm surge and the full moon that got to me. I ended up getting 2 inches throughout the house. And then I was smart enough that I kind of figured it was going to happen when I thought it was going to be a full moon. So I rented a U-Haul, packed up all my personal belongings, and then we moved all that out, and then I also moved all the appliances on top of the cinder blocks. So so those were saved. The house is wet. Tomorrow I get to go ahead and start stripping carpet. So.
Well, sorry to hear that, man. Anything we can do to give you a hand, let me know. Better get some blowers in there. Get some blowers in there and start getting that water dried out. Do you have homeowners insurance going to help you with any of that? Going to get somebody out there?
My homeowners insurance won't help me, but I do have flood insurance. I knew that buying on the water that it was a possibility. We just didn't have time to get the house raised before this happened. So, you know, we thought we made it through, and we didn't. So.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that. I know you can't see the chat room, but everybody in the chat room is saying basically the same thing. That sucks, Jay, and we're sorry to hear that. So hang in there.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's something we can do.
No. I appreciate it. A lot of people reach out to me on Facebook. You know, a lot of the kayaking community, you know, even though I've only met them once or twice on the water, you know, send me messages, hey, if there's anything I can do for you. And I really appreciate it. I mean, it just really goes to show you, you know, what kind of community that we have. Even though I've only been here for just over 2 years, I mean, you know, it's just the outpouring of people. I mean, I had Lee Williams. He came over and he helped me raise the appliances because, you know, Allie couldn't help me out. So, you know, he came over on his own time. It's just a great community that we have, and I really appreciate the outpouring of support for us.
Very cool, yeah. I was thinking that earlier today about this, what you're saying on Facebook, seeing all the different people checking in. I had friends of mine that are down in Louisiana and places like that. I got, you know, text messages today and emails from other people in the region in the fishing community basically saying and asking the same thing, how'd everybody make out up here? So getting it all the time from, you know, Chuck down there in Florida, Redfish Chuck, he was messaging me all day yesterday and asking how everything was going and how we were doing. So you're right, it is a good community. Speaking of devil, there he is in the chat room, so. Well, we're sorry to hear about the damage, and like I said, if there's anything I can do or we can do to help you out, just don't hesitate. Try to do whatever we can. So get that wet, soggy stuff out of the house so we can start driving.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, man. Well, you take care. You going to stick around?
Yeah. Just mute me if you will.
Okay. We got you, buddy. All right. Hang in there.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
We have another caller, but I don't know who it is, and it's not on my phone list. Should I just put him live and just see what happens?
Let him go. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Hello?
Kayak Fishing Radio, who do we have?
Hey, this is Matt from New Jersey. Can you hear me?
Hey, what's going on, yet, Jim?
How's it doing?
I'm sitting in my truck powering the house.
Oh.
Wow.
Can you hear me okay? His cell phone isn't too good right now.
Yeah,
we got you good enough.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going up there. Obviously, you've lost power, you just said. So how's everything else in your... Where exactly are you?
More on North Central Jersey. Pretty much a lot of trees down into houses and power down, power lines, that kind of stuff. Nothing like the coast, though. I tried to drive out there today since they called off work, but I wasn't getting past where they blocked off the parkway going into the disaster areas.
Gotcha. So pretty much just power outages and stuff where you are, not much flooding or anything?
Yeah, we didn't get a lot of rain where I'm at, luckily, because I live right in the Raritan River basin, just north of there. So, yeah, the tides didn't push the water back up to here, but down southeast of here more, it's just totally wrecked.
Wow, sorry to hear that. Yeah, it's kind of weird how that storm definitely got bigger and meaner, it seemed like, once it passed us and started coming in. When I got up this morning and saw what was going on in New York City and New Jersey, I have family in New Jersey and checked on them. They seem they're up in the Sussex County area. You know where that is, Vernon Valley, Great Gorge, up around there.
Yeah, it's about an hour north of where I'm at.
Okay, yeah, that's where they are. She seemed to be okay, so... No.
We,
I'm glad
we
to hear you're all right and everybody's safe at your household, so just hang in there.
Yeah, everybody's good over here. Got the power inverter running, keeping the refrigerator cool, saving the food.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got to do that. Yeah, I don't want to take that loss, too. Any projected time on your power? Are they working in that area? Do you know?
I'm saying 7 to 10 days.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, we'll see.
We were noticing, when was that, Chris? Saturday afternoon, Sunday, yesterday. I'm all confused. Monday. All the power trucks that came here from other states to help out were already staging at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel to come your way. They said that they were getting an escort across the bridge because it was actually closed, the trucks and all, yesterday. But they were all staging at the toll plaza. We saw them getting ready to make the trek up north to your neck of the woods. So hopefully the Calvary's coming and they can start getting you guys pulled out. Excuse me?
I'm just saying they have a lot of stops before they get up to me. The whole coast is wrecked. So.
Yeah, I saw
it's in bad shape down there.
Yeah, heck, it was so far, they were showing Lake Michigan was having like 20-foot seas and stuff from this. So you figure by the time they got over that far to the Great Lakes, it was still hitting them pretty hard. So, yeah, so
yeah,
it's pretty bad. So, all right, man. Well, you stay safe up there. Like I said, if there's anything, I don't know what we can do for you down here, but definitely keep you in our thoughts. And like Jay said, we're all tight community. We got anybody else out there in the New Jersey area? I'm trying to think of what's the kayak shop? What's his name that just opened up a little while ago? I was watching pictures. He was putting.
Chris Parson. He's down in Cape May. He's right at the center of that thing.
Yeah. So I haven't heard anything from him today. So I don't know. It's probably with all the power.
Yeah, I haven't heard much.
Yeah. So. Well, you take it easy up there, and like I said, if anything we can do, let us know. It's gonna be a little while.
We'll be all right. Just thought I'd call in and give you the storm damage report.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. That's what we asked for today. I put it up on the show just to check in with all of our northern kayaking friends and everybody that tunes in. So I'm glad to hear from you. And worst comes to worst, you just got to start eating all that food in the refrigerator.
That's it. The grill still works.
That's right. Very cool. All right, man. Hang in there.
Get back to your show.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling in and checking on us, Matt.
Hey, no problem.
All right. You take care of yourself and your family.
All right. Later.
All right. Take care.
I know we went ahead and muted Jay. I want Jay to know that Joe Mancini just sent me a private message. If you need anything or you think there's anything Joe Mancini can do for you, by all means, please contact him. He's more than happy to lend a hand. Lend. You know, help you out.
Help you out. There you go. Jay's listening still, so, yeah, that's awesome. after Joe's Facebook yesterday, we know Joe is definitely an expert now of going around in attics and taking care of.
Actually, I just asked Joe, but he said everything is all well. They apparently were out today already repairing his roof. So it appears our friend Joe has a dry 400 count sheets again. Although I really would like to know, Joe, how do you know you have 400 count sheets? I don't even know what count sheets I have. Oh,
that is.
I know. He should call in. That'd be pretty funny.
Joe can give us. I don't even know. I bought them. That's why he says.
I buy my sheets too. What do you think? Somebody's giving them to us? Wow. I'm gonna put the number in the chat room for people that maybe would like to call in.
Yeah, do that. I didn't even think about it. Anybody else is out there? It's. Like I said, we wanted to hear everybody check in. Make sure you're doing well, especially our northern friends that are really getting the pounding, it seems like, up in New Jersey, New York. Kind of tough out there. It's going to be a little while here till things calm down, too. Nothing will stimulate the economy faster than a bad storm. But right now, the economy stimulating of Wall Street is not going to happen for a few days, so... Looks pretty rough there in New York City. The subways are full of water and blackouts everywhere, so I don't know how much that's going to go. I'm sorry, I was reading the chat room. Now we went off topic and we're talking about plastic sheets and 400 count sheets.
I think 700 count is really expensive. The higher the count, the tighter the thread in the sheet, but then the higher the count goes, the stiffer the sheets go, too. Something like that.
All right. Well, when we start the blog talk sheet and sheet channel, you guys can definitely lend a hand. Somebody said he had 400 count sheep. Joe, never mind. That was pretty funny, too. Yeah, post-hurricane striper action. Let's get back on topic here. And that's what I was going to talk about, post-fishing period.
Keep it light.
All right, we're going to talk about fishing now. If nobody else is calling in, everybody's checking in here. I see them in the chat room. We got a good little crew over there and some of our friends from up north, so that means they got power or at least a way of getting in on the show. We appreciate it. Somebody just mentioned about post-storm striper fishing and post-fishing period, it's going to take quite a few days for this water to clean up, that's for sure. It's going to lay down nicely, but as far as cleaning up all that runoff, if you plan on going in the next couple days, I'd also keep your head on a swivel for floating debris. We went down to our job site that's on the Chesapeake Beach, right on the other side of the Bainbridge Tunnel, and there's logs and all kind of deck material, 4x4 posts, you name it. There was all kind of tore up docks, everything laying out on the beach. So floating around out there is going to be a little better in a kayak. You'll just bump into it, not like cruising across in a powerboat where you might not see it till you feel it underneath the boat. But definitely be aware of that, too, when you're out on the water. A lot of things got stuck up in the grass and in the marsh. And now when the tide starts to pick it up and take it back out, it'll start floating again. So once we get back on a normal routine with winds here, the winds changed overnight, so it kind of kept the waters in the bay, didn't really blow it out as bad. So hopefully it'll clear up soon. Hopefully we'll get a couple of nice, good tide days, bring the clean water back in from out in the ocean, and then we'll be able to get back to things as normal. The only other problem we have is the temperatures have completely changed since it was 80 last week down to 40, yes.
What are Joe's last two numbers on his phone number?
How do I know?
You talk to Joe. I don't have his number. We've got an unidentified 757 caller.
I don't even know the home phone number unless I look it up on my phone, so I surely don't know Joe's phone number.
Okay, I'm going to put it live. radio. Who do we have?
It's Andy. What's going on, guys?
Hey.
I take it you guys fared all right through the storm?
Yeah, we did all right. Who is this? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. I can't hear you.
Andy.
Oh, hey, Andy.
Did you happen to see the picture of the Crab Creek, the boat launch?
Yep.
With the corner of the parking lot that fell in.
Yeah, they took that like three spaces off the parking lot, and then all that beach that was right there, it pretty much ripped that up. And I guess the channel is only 2.5 feet deep on high tide, so I think they're closing that for the next couple of weeks.
Wow. Have you seen or heard anything from Rudy?
Actually, it was down there today, and it looked all right. It didn't look too bad. It was around low tide, too, and it was it looked clear.
That's the problem with those man-made channels and cuts and everything. You know, doesn't take much to close those right back in. Mother Nature kind of put sand up and down the beach for a reason. And once we start digging it out, it doesn't take long for it to fill back in.
Yep.
I saw you posted your offer to next three days, so I know you're going to be itching to get out there. So you got any plans to get on the water?
I'm probably going to go out Thursday to my super, super secret spot and head out there for a little bit. But I was going to try and go down to Buxton tomorrow, but I guess they've got between the bridge, the bridge over Oregon Inlet and Buxton, there's like three cuts where the water broke through again.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I saw one of the old-time staples, the Avalon Pier, is pretty much gone again.
Yeah, Avalon and then Avon, the T on the end of Avon got messed up pretty bad, too.
Well, no, it was Frisco. Did I see something on Frisco also?
Yeah, but Frisco's been a wreck since, I think it was Isabel, maybe, and it's just been in pieces since then. They've never really fixed that one, but still standing. But no, I want to try and go out Thursday and give it a shot. I don't really know what to expect, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the other alternative probably right now wouldn't be too bad. Probably didn't get as much I guess it got a lot of runoff, but the river probably is still pretty good. Elizabeth River, I don't think that's...
Yeah, that's where I was going to head.
I didn't mean to blow up your super, super spot.
It's a big river.
It is a very big river, you're right. But that probably might be a little muddy from the runoff, but I don't think it'll be...
The river.
Gaviva. The river's on fire. And the river was on fire. And that's the thing. These fish didn't go anywhere. They weren't going to go out there. They're still there. And if anything, they're going to be hungry and ready to chew. This little change in the temperature will definitely help, too. HRBT, somebody just put King Rat in there. Yeah, that's going to be... I think that'll help a lot, too. The HRBT will probably be a little better. Again, we're definitely going to need a couple good incoming and outgoing tides to clean up the water, so it's going to be pretty muddy. What?
Nothing.
She has her own radio show going sometimes and doesn't clue me in.
Joe has a mean friend, boy.
Yeah, I saw that in the corner of the parking lot, so that's pretty bad over there if it took out that much. I don't know. I mean, where else in Lynn Haven? Bubba's got flooded pretty bad, but they opened that back up for business last night, so Bubba got to make that money.
Yeah, I saw that. Even Chicks was open today, too. We was down there for a little while. I thought they were open. And I know they were right down there, too, and getting all that water.
Who was that, Chicks?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't see that they got flooded. I did see Bubba's, but Dimitri, he ain't going to stay closed for long. He got to get them doors back open.
Yeah, he said on the news yesterday he didn't have no insurance, so.
Yeah, it's probably pretty hard to get flood insurance when your restaurant is on the water. I'm sure the price for flood insurance, and it's not the first time it's happened to them, so you'd be a pretty high risk there for any insurance company to pick you up. Now, you have family up north, don't you, Andy?
What's that?
You have family up north, do you not?
Yeah, I've got family up in the northern part of New York and some scattered around Massachusetts. Everyone did all right. I had a couple cousins out in Cape Cod. They lost power for a little bit, but they got it back by today. So they're good to go. I know, actually, my one cousin lives down in Rhode Island, just outside of Tiverton. They were still without power, but no bad damage. So everyone, I guess, fared out pretty good.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. I don't like to, you know, it seems, I don't know, I've never lived like or near New York City or anything like that, but I can't imagine that being prepared for a hurricane is on the top of the list. They're good to go when it comes to snow and stuff like that, but hurricanes and tropical storms are not really in their,
definitely
in their makeup up there. So, all right,
hey,
so you're going to go.
You guys.
Go ahead.
I got a question real quick. How many days until the next boondoggle?
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. Chris had the countdown going.
Rick Fitzchuck is in the chat room. Hey, Chuck, how many days for the next boondoggle? Yeah, boondoggle. How many? He don't know. Wow. I feel like you were putting that up every day, so I stopped looking. But, you know...
We gotta be near like 115. We gotta be like that.
That's unacceptable.
We gotta be less than that.
119.
Okay, I'm gonna hit the button.
Boondoggle.
There it is.
Boondoggle. 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 What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida, at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people. And then there's a bunch of kayakers, too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
All right, the number that's holding strong now is 109, so.
Okay. I want to trust half those numbers flying around in the chat room because I don't think half the people in there can count anyway.
No, they can't, especially not backwards. That's really going to trip them up. Most of these people going backwards is not going to work. The only person I know who has one of those down is Tommy V's got his retirement counter on. He'll probably tell you that number in a second. But
yeah, I'll bet.
Probably the only note. All right, so you're going to the river this Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to give it a shot.
Your super, super secret spot.
Yes. Yeah.
And if I was going to the river lately, it's not even on a map.
It's
what, the water isn't
on
a map?
It's just where the spot is. There's no map that exists of this place.
So you dropped in by helicopter?
I can't even tell you about that, how I'm getting there.
Oh,
shoot. It's that secret.
Are you getting to that level now, Andy, that you're holding out your secrets to? Do we need to put you on that list?
I would never do that to you guys.
All right, so then the secret, with the secret site, there's probably no secret lure or any secret style of fishing that was working for you before the storm?
The big thing is curly tails, chartreuse curly tails. That's the key. I've thrown all kinds of other stuff at them, and they don't want anything, no top water. They just want curly tails.
Yeah, we've been experienced. And I'll keep it in the Andy super secret mode, but lately it's been kind of the same thing for Chris and I. We've been going out, and Chuck, you'll love to hear this. It's been a root beer chartreuse tail kind of water conditions that we've been fishing. It's been working very well. So look at Chuck's like, yeah, I knew he'd like that. But, yeah, definitely root beer and chartreuse tail. Lures have been doing better for where I've been fishing before the storm. Now we'll have to see what happens with the water conditions. And you don't have to tell anything because that's your prerogative. Because I've always found that root beer or the gold colored, like in the Elizabeth River, I guess is what I'm talking about. But your secret spot, so I can't keep saying that because I'm getting tongue tied. Not being on the map, I don't even know if any of the Elizabeth River actually flows into that spot. Who are you calling? You might be Chris, what are you doing?
This is why we can't have nice things, Chris.
Who are you calling?
Joe? Hey, Joe, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Joe, you're alive on Kayak Fishing Radio.
Man. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Joe.
How are you?
I'm good, buddy.
Kind of weird.
What's weird? Joe?
There's a delay. There's a delay.
Right.
Well, turn your computer down. Don't
mute your computer.
You're actually in the future right now.
Act like you're bugging someone's house. Pretend you're bugging someone's house.
I'm going to need my attorney.
We're not recording it. Oh, yeah, I guess they do record it.
Hey, if the price is right, Joe, I'll even tell you which one of your friends ratted out your phone number.
It's either Tom or Tom.
Tom or Tom. Speckle Trout Joe, a.k.a. the roof repair guy, is now joining us live on the Kayak Fishing Radio Show.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well, Joe. How are you? Did you make out all right in the storm besides for your play-by-play of the dreaded roof leak?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty trying time for me. I have about a 2-foot by 2-foot hole in my ceiling now, but, you know, I'm dealing with it. I have friends like you guys.
I was going to ask you, do you, next time you put up pictures like that in your bedroom, let's see if we can not get those Martha Stewart curtains in the picture again.
It's just a nice white, you know, relaxing,
warm
curtain.
No. If there's a ruffle on top, there is nothing relaxing of a curtain with a ruffle on top.
Oh, no, there's no ruffle on top. It's just those like, white sheer drape things.
It's got a ruffle on top.
All right, we're getting too crazy here tonight. We're talking about sheets and curtains, but now I got to ask, the chat room's bugging me. They want me to know where you got the nickname Speckle Trout Joe.
I catch them bitches.
Do we have to edit the show, though? Can he say that, Mark? He just said that live.
He just said it live. It's good.
That's all right. Who's that? Who's that? Okay, Redfish Chuck?
I want to know why they
call him Redfish Chuck.
That's not going to be as good because he's not on the phone. He's in the chat room.
Did he give himself that nickname? Because you can't do that.
You can't give your own nickname or you can't catch them bitches? Which is it?
No, you can't give yourself your own nickname.
This is like the Navy pilots. You can't give yourself your own nickname.
I believe Tom gave him the nickname.
Easy.
Easy.
I did not make up Redfish Chuck. Redfish Chuck.
He got defensive. We were talking about Joe, but Chuck got defensive. What's going on, Chuck?
Hang on.
we weren't even talking about you.
Joe goes, you can't give yourself that name. No, me and Joe had a conversation at the last Boondoggle. I also, like Joe, catch those bleeps. You're welcome, Chip.
Come on, you can say it. We're all adults here.
I catch those bitches. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
No, actually, I got that nickname. I was fishing with a very good friend of mine and a couple years back. And, man, it was like the perfect morning. No wind, flat calm, whatever. Tailing fish everywhere. And I just smoked them. I think I caught, 30, 35 fish for the morning. And my buddy caught two for my 30, 35. And he goes, because my handle on the forms used to be Deputy Catch-Em-All, because I used to be a deputy sheriff. And my buddy said, you catch them all, so whatever. Then it's dumb. But he turns to me and he goes, dude, you need to change your form handle to Redfish Chuck because you own these fish. So there you go.
That's pretty I'll ask you about your deputy sheriff career down when we go down to
here we go. The next bromance right there.
Yeah. Y'all can compare handcuffs and pistols at the next boondoggle.
Yeah.
You want to see my badge?
No, you're
going
to get
awesome.
Total bomb.
Hey, wait, I don't want the story brought up because it's a fishing show, but you just got to do me a favor, Chuck, okay? I want you to get a pen and paper out, and I want you to write notes right now. Because I want you to seriously, I want you to remember to do this at the next boondoggle when you and Joe are sitting down having an adult beverage. I want you to ask Speckle Trout Joe about the, what's the right word to use, Andy? What's the felon? That he put in the back seat of his car.
Yeah.
Andy, yeah. So that's all I'm going to say, but you just got to ask Joe to tell you the story about the felon who was taking a shower and he put in the back seat of his car. And then it'll just go from there. So, but you got to wait until he has a couple of adult beverages. And then you deputy dogs or whatever, law enforcement, G-men can tell your stories. But
I do want to say I admire Joe for his ability to stay calm, cool, and compassionate under pressure. And that's so true.
Yeah.
So I got mad. What do I do?
Joe, you want to fish on Thursday?
What's that?
What was that?
Joe, you want to go fishing on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm going to head out right now. I'm going to go fishing right now with the Hampton Roads Bridge Channel. Heard the tide's really, really good right now. So I'm going
to
get off the phone. Well, it was good talking to the kayak fishing radio people. And I will see you in the chat.
All right. Well,
bye,
thanks for being called. I got to say thanks for calling in, but thanks for being called and answering the phone.
Absolutely. See you guys. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Joe didn't like to be on the phone, Andy.
That's all right.
Joe's phone shy.
I will say that his storytelling during the hurricane had me refreshing my computer every 2 minutes because I just couldn't look away. It was like it was like the new Tom Clancy at work.
I was rolling. That was some of the funniest stuff I have read in a long time. Yep. I had tears in my eyes reading that. And you could just see him talking like that, too. You really have to know Joe. Oh, look, now they're egging me out. Call him back.
The pictures of the devastation were actually pretty good, too. They really added to the story.
Well, at least if anything, you know, in the middle of a storm like that, if you can't keep a sense of humor about it, then I guess what are you going to do? We don't need Joe getting ballistic or anything because he had a little roof leak. I could just have heard him when it started dripping on him in the morning when he was sleeping. The F-bombs that were probably flying when he got woken up by a dripping roof. So
You don't want to get those 700 thread count sheets wet. That's not what you want to do. Hey, so
hey,
what
Chuck.
Is all this cold air and all that rainwater, what's that going to do to the fishing around here?
It's going to mess it up for a few days. Like I said earlier, the fish didn't leave because of this. It wasn't a dramatic temperature drop, but they're going to shut down for a little while. That pressure drops and all those different factors that happen, if it messes them up, I mean, but they're going to eat. They're still going to be out there. That's what I was going to ask you earlier. Going to your secret super spot. I mean, these are the times with these water conditions where you're going to have to probably get bigger, stinkier, uglier in the water because that water is messed up. So they're going to see a lot less of your lure. So if you were throwing a 3 or 4 inch paddle tail before this, you might have to go up to a 5 inch. Or, you know, if you're like Chris and I like to use the ProCure, I'm going to double up the amount of ProCure, put something stinkier in the water to get them attracted. Little rattles, beads, things like that. If you're going to use top water, the louder side of top water lures now, bigger. If you're throwing, you know, like a mirror lure puff, you're going to have to throw a he dog or a she dog, something bigger, because they're only going to see a smaller percentage of it now than they were before when the water was clean.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but they're still there. I mean, especially in that somewhat secret super spot you're going to, you know, they stick around there all year anyway.
Sure they're gets, there all day, yeah.
Yeah, it gets there when it, but just getting them to find it is the main thing.
Yep.
Like it, Tom McCall saying, you know, it's stinkier than Procure mullet. Yeah, you can throw some big chunks of mullet out there, but I'd throw a bigger chunk of mullet than I did before because they still got to find it, and that's going to be the biggest
thing. You know, though, I did that out there, and I didn't have any luck.
Cut bait,
I used live. All they wanted was chartreuse curly tails.
Did your cut bait, or your live bait either, or were you putting it under a cork, or did you have it on like a fish finder, Carolina rig?
At one point I had a fish finder out with a couple chunks, and then I had it on a cork, some cut on a cork, and I even had a full live one on a cork, and they just weren't having it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that part of the area is kind of weird for that anyway, the live bait and dead bait thing. Live bait I've known to do better, cut bait, dead bait, things like that. I've never really done well over there or seen no of people that do well. I don't do much bait fishing live or dead anyway, but, I mean, the live bait, I mean, it's funny because at the tackle shop when it gets so cold here that you can't get mud minnows anymore, we sell the freshwater shiners to everybody to go over there and fish in the cove and all. They don't last as long, but some kind of live bait, which is funny to me, too, because if there's no mud minnows around, why are they hitting those shiners? There's nothing that size either. You got mullets about the only thing in there at that time of the year.
Them fish is hungry.
Yeah, well, that's right. They got to keep their fat content up because it's so cold out there. So, and that's the thing now is that these fronts are coming in more and more, so they're going to be trying to feed. They got to feed to get ready for the winter. So
that's
it'll be
what
out
I
there.
Did all summer is try to get my fat content up because I knew it was going to be a cold winter.
Is that what you're working on?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
How'd it work out?
So far, so good. But, we'll
yeah,
see.
Get new, any new? Use your wardrobe, you increase?
No, we're sitting tight with the same stuff, but I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. I hope it's not too cold this winter.
Andy said his new size is elastic.
Yeah, elastic and Velcro sneakers.
You're not that old. You can still tie your shoes.
No, I'm not Tom Van Hyden age.
Oh, man, Tommy V's in the chat room.
I'm name dropping tonight, too.
Uh-oh. Dropping bombs. Andy's on
actually,
the show dropping bombs.
I was out fishing with Tommy V the other day before the storm.
Oh, when you saw the secret super state of Corey's.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was a
did you see our buddy in the John boat out there?
There's a couple out and about.
Oh. It's a topic I think we're gonna do one night on the show here at etiquette because there's a couple of people out there that
I
definitely have none.
Well, I've run into that problem at my super secret spot over on the river. With last time we were out, we had a jet skier, and there's this little creek kind of wraps around, and this guy came through, crawling through there full throttle, and it's not too deep there, and I was kind of hoping, you know, he might have hit one of those shallow areas and flown off, but he came pretty close to us a couple times. Once I get around to the video, I've got a good video of it too. And then even over in Rudy, too, had a couple boats running up on us. So if one of those.
We're gonna, maybe we can protest to have a no motor zone here in Virginia like we're going to in February. We don't have to worry about those mosquitoes of the water out there, the jet skiers, and the guys in
I'm
the John
sure
boats that think they own
no
everything.
Motor zone right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It won't be as many people launching, which is going to be tough on the striper fishermen if they can't launch out of Crab Creek. But you know who's going to benefit is our buddy Dimitri, who needs all the money to fix his restaurant back up because he charges more to park over there. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody went out there. I might have saw Dimitri picking at that corner of the parking lot with a pickaxe.
Yeah.
I'm just joking, Dimitri. I'm just joking. So, yeah, I think fishing's going to be good. Give it a couple days. Striper fishing's going to get better because it's starting to cool. Fronts are starting to come in. So I think the striper bite's going to turn on more, but there's definitely still plenty of trout and reds out there. I was just looking through Julia Ball's report from last week. You're pretty much anywhere you go now, the trout are definitely out there all over the river, as Andy says, in secret spots and not-so-secret spots. Elizabeth River is very well full of trout. Rudy's gotten a little better. Lynn Haven's been
actually
really good.
I pulled a super mini slam from Rudy the other day.
Oh, did you? You got a flounder?
Yeah, a little 10-inch flounder. I caught after battling that wind, and hey, you know what? I'm going to take off and go to the front and troll around out there. And so that whole paddle out to the outside in the wind. So I decided to come back. I picked up a little bluefish at the wall right there. It was a monster 10-incher. It was huge. Then earlier in the day, I caught a little 12-inch stickle trout. So it wasn't a total bust, but I'm coming back in and meet up to see Tommy V and fishing with Kevin Burns also. And I was just drifting because I was tired of paddling. So I was kind of just drifting my way, letting the wind take me back, and picked up a nice little, total length of the mini slam, about 20 inches. That's probably right. I picked up a little puppy drum over by the grass, and awesome. He hooked kind of deep. So I pulled it out, stuck a tag in him, and while I was measuring them and tagging them, threw them back. I got my pole. I thought the line was wrapped around my anchor trolley, but it turns out there's a flounder pulling on it. I pulled it up, and there's a little 12-inch flounder on that too. So it was a rocking day.
How long have you been tagging, Andy?
I've been tagging since 2000 and either 2007 or 2008. I used to do a lot of it when I was surf fishing.
How many returns have you had?
I tell you, I used to get a lot of returns on flounder that I tagged on the naval base, but there was one year where I got a bunch of them, and since then I haven't gotten anything out of there. And as far as even fish over there, is nothing. But this year, I think I have 8 returns from this year.
Eight,
I've gotten this.
What's the furthest return you've ever had?
I got a actually the first year I did it, I caught a puppy drum at Ocean View Fishing Pier. I stuck a tag in it, and 2 weeks later it was caught in at Oregon Inlet down in North Carolina. Then 3 weeks after that, it was caught down in Kings Bay, Georgia.
Wow.
So he
So in 5 weeks he went from Ocean View Pier to Kings Bay, Georgia.
Yeah. It was pretty cool to see that. But that's my father's one. Pretty much all the other fish have stayed local around here.
Do you recall like anything about the fish itself, like size increase or anything? Did they do anything? Did the people claim the tag?
I don't think it was, but it was actually released. They released the fish too and went in Georgia, so they could still be out there, and you know, who knows we'll get another return from, but I've gotten a couple returns on speckled trout over there in the Elizabeth River too.
That's cool. Yeah, I've heard a lot of neat stories about returns. Kevin, Diet Kevin had told me one like that. Similar to that, it was about the same time period too, from this area to somewhere down around Oregon Inlet or somewhere down around that area of Pamlico, and it's about 2 weeks, which, you know, you think about it, for a little fish to swim, that's a good little haul.
Yeah.
For a little red drum to...
2009, I tagged a bunch of flounder on the north end of Ocracoke. And then actually during this summer, I got a couple returns from those flounder that actually around the Hampton Roads Bridge Summit.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow, that's
actually
pretty cool.
Talking, when it happened, I went in a couple of days later, and I was talking to Lewis about it. He said it was pretty incredible that they actually moved that far, and He said probably during the winter they packed up and went north hauling food.
Yeah, because I kind of thought flounder were more inshore, offshore. They kind of just went out straight and came back in. I didn't think they did so much as north and south
no.
Inland as they grew.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know Claude Bain, then. I'm getting all everybody here in the chat room is probably like, what are these two guys talking about?
Oh, yeah.
About?
Yeah.
Real quick, if you guys don't know, we have a tagging program here in Virginia, and obviously Andy's a part of that tagging program, and they do just that. They stick a tag in the fish. Tag has a series of numbers on there. Andy writes down all the data from the fish when he tags it, length, girth. Do you do girth or just length? Length.
No, I just where
he
length.
Yeah, length, where he caught it. You know, obviously the date, and then they put the fish back, and then if somebody catches that fish, they write down that number off the tag, or you can, what, they still break in half so you can keep half of the tag?
Yeah, they have the numbers on two parts of the tag where you can snip that part off and then call the number, or you can pull the tag out. I know a lot of times what I'll do, if I catch a fish that's been tagged, I'll usually tag it again.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I've had some that you can't even get the number. You can hardly read it. That's so much algae and
things
on
it.
Yeah, the slime on it. So that's a pretty good idea if you are a tagger to re-tag it again. But, yeah, and then so you call the number, you call the Virginia tagging number, and you give them that number, and then you tell them where you caught it. And I don't know what they're doing this year. They always bury a T-shirt, a hat, or
this year
sticker,
they're
giving
a little, like, silver fish pin.
They still doing the
hat, or I think one of the plastic tackle box you get to choose, I think.
Right. Very cool. And then they put them back. So, yeah, I knew when Claude Bain was the director, and this I'll tell real quick because we're getting close to the top of the hour, but he told a story, maybe you've heard this story, about a cobia that was tagged at the high rise.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that same cobia was caught over the next 5 years, four different times in that same general area of the high rise. Within like a week of it, of all the captures that it was. So it was like, I think he said like the first or second week of July, and over the next 5 years, four times that same cobia was caught in that same spot again. So
there's
pretty
also,
weird how they.
I really want to do that next year.
They tagged cobia off of, I think it was off the high rise too, on one of the cobia spots. But it was the farthest fish to date that they've done. It got caught off a oil rig in Texas in the Gulf.
Holy cow.
It went from Virginia all the way down and around there. You can pull all, they have the their yearly tagging reports. You can pull them all up, and it shows where all the fish were tagged and everything. I think they had recapture reports, too, where they were actually caught and released again. It's all on the VMRC website. You can weed through it and pick all that stuff up.
So you guys start tagging next year, Chris?
Yeah, I really would like to do that. I think it's an awesome thing to do.
It's a fun thing. I mean, I don't like keeping a lot of fish anyway. I mean, I think it's a pain in the butt going home and cleaning them. I just want to go home and take a nap usually. But it's cool to tag them. You know, it helps the state out with their tracking, and it's cool to see where the fish that you caught, where they end up.
One that I usually do, that's like around February or something, when they take the next
right? If you want to get involved with it, the best way to do it is either email or call Lewis Gillingham down at VMRC. I can even pull a number out there for him. He'll put you on a waiting list, and they'll contact the people there, and they'll have like little seminars that they do at like Bass Pro Shops or some of the other tackle shops. You know how to tag and fish handling and stuff, and they'll give you a little tagging gun and tags and stuff, and then you're off in the program.
Cool. We'll have to get you on that list, Chris.
Well, you have his number. Don't you have his number in your phone, Mark?
Yeah, I know Lewis.
There you go.
Make that call.
Yeah, Mark.
You know, it's funny. I used to do the tagging thing, too. And I'm sure it's just one of those stupid things that you go through. It's like you don't bring your camera and you catch the best fish. it seemed like a lot of times when I had the tagging stuff with me, I'd have like crappy days. And the days I'd forget it in the truck or at home, I'd have better days underwater. So I kind of was like, this is kind of one of those superstitions or whatever, but forget it. I ain't doing this again.
I'm going to stick on my big tag and a gator down in Florida.
Going to tag a gator?
I'm going to tag a gator.
On my camera. I won't forget the camera that day. You're going to tag a gator.
A gator.
We'll see if we can make that happen. We want to, like, maybe a good-sized gator. Not one of them little tiny, like, juvenile babies, like, three.
Oh, 10 feet. It's got to be at least 10 feet.
I don't think that tagging gun will poke it. I don't think you'll get through the skin with that tagging gun that they issue here.
The big, well, I've got the tags for the bigger fish, too. The little wooden handle that you stick in on.
Oh, yeah, the little spear, the little, like, whale thing. Looks like the old whale harpoon.
The harpoon.
Yep. Because they have those guns that they give you are the same thing they use to put the tags and clothes on the rack at the clothing store.
Yep.
Very cool.
Someone's going to leave the boondoggle tag by the state of Virginia.
You got to tag. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool to tag your fish down at the boondoggle and just let them go back and see if they ever.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty funny. We'll have to see.
Well, right on, guys. We'll
all right. Well, we'll see you, Andy. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right. Later.
All right. We'll talk to you. All right. Well, that was a quick hour, huh? Wow. That went by. Very cool. We got everything covered tonight. We checked on our northern friends in the storm. We figured out the thread count on Joe's Egyptian sheets and his curtains. What else did we get done tonight? We got the tagging thing under control. We found out that Andy uses a helicopter to go fishing. Oh, it's been an eventful night.
And Andy has 700 count thread sheet sheets.
700. Well, Andy's making all that big money, so can't hide money.
Did you get a fishing report from Philip?
Philip sent us a report, but basically Philip's report was he's not going to tell us anything because he has no clue what's going to happen after the storm. He had a pretty good bite going on, fresh water in his neck of the woods, and then he basically wanted to tell everybody that I hope they were safe and to not forget about the two people that were lost on the boat in the Alpha Hatteras. Now I'm drawing a blank on the name of the boat that sunk, the big sailboat. I guess it's more than a sailboat, but you guys know what I'm talking about if you're watching the news. But so that was Salt's report. He's basically not sure what was going to happen in North Carolina after this storm any more than a lot of us are here. Just going to have to get back out on the water and give it a try. Like I said earlier, the fish didn't leave. They're still here, so. That's it, HMS Bounty. So, all right, well, if you're listening to us tonight and you're still in the storm circle of Sandy, be safe, everyone. There's nothing out there worth it. Heed the warnings. Get out of town. Buckle up, whatever you got to do. Matt, thanks for calling in. Hope you get some electricity back on soon, buddy. Don't lose all your food. And that's about it. Like I said, you guys get back out there. We got nice weather coming. It's cooled off. But looking at the weather report for the next few days, going to start. We'll see the sun again starting tomorrow, I think they said, and climb back up into the 60s at least by the weekend. So that's about all I got. Tune in next week. Well, before next week, don't forget to tune in tomorrow night. Mark Wheeler, Thursday night. Chip Gibson, who I think I saw in here earlier, and bring it back around to Redfish Chuck, the deputy fisherman, or whatever he said his name was earlier. Now he's on a cake tangent, so there's no stopping him. So that's all I got. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Like I said, be safe. Get out in the water. Give us your fishing reports. Let us know what's going on. All right, Chris, hit some buttons. Get these people back to their Tuesday night.
Okay. Tight lines to everybody. No matter where you're fishing. Safety, safety, safety. Remember, take your children fishing. They're our next generation anglers. Good night, everybody.